Yes, it is. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your healing power upon all that need it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. Lord, I just thank you for bringing us all here in one accord in this fellowship. And I praise you, Lord, that there's power here. There's power of the Lord God Almighty here because of all the true hearts of faith. And I thank you, Lord, that the prayers that we pray tonight, every one of them will be answered. And I thank you, Lord, that divine health flows in this fellowship in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that the witchcraft curses that have been spoken to against this body have been cast down as null and void in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your divine protection upon everyone. I thank you, Lord, for your divine health upon everyone. But I'm going to look at and also, Lord, we thank you for your provisions that are more than abundantly enough to do whatever it is that we need to do. And I thank you, Father, that our faith is bringing the money in to get this gospel out in a mighty way in the next 7 years. And I praise you, Lord, that we're right here at the precipice of the man-child leading the bride into the tribulation, into the wilderness. Put it that way. And I thank you, Father, that we are protected by your grace and your mercy, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us tonight with your presence. Glory be to God. Okay, I just want to pray one prayer. Father, I pray for the missionaries over there. I thank you, Lord, for removing all their enemies. And I thank you, Lord, it is done all the way up to the top of the pole in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for taking care of them, protecting them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the resurrection power. As the man-child gets resurrected, the people will come up out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God for... in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I don't think so. All right. Anybody else got a prayer? Have I got a weird sound or something? Okay. All right. No, I shut that down. Anybody got a prayer? I'll be asking. Lord, I thank you that Barry is healed, delivered, and also Casey, both of them are healed, delivered, and set free in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father, that it has stopped in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Hello, y'all. Ben, you look nice, brother. Y'all clean cut and everything. One thing, there's something on you. Got something on his face. That
I guess I missed this part.
Amen. Yeah.
My buddy's wedding was this weekend, and I was part of the groom's party, so I had to actually look nice for him.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? God has answered. How many of you know God is awesome? How many of you know he can do anything, everything, and we don't have to know about it? Because we hadn't seen it doesn't mean it's not happening, does it? Amen. I'm telling you, I know, because I've really been tested. We've been tested here in the last couple of 2 or 3 weeks, and it's awesome. But God is moving. He's moving in a mighty way. Glory to God. Woo. All right, y'all want to hear a good song? Okay. Well, maybe. Let me back out here just a second. All right, now let's try it again. That don't, oh, I see. I see.
Hagar was a single mother. She was abandoned by the family she belonged to. And there in the wilderness with her son, alone, with very little provision, she was wondering. She was questioning. Does anyone care? She's crying in the desert. She's lost in her despair. She thinks nobody loves her. Hagar thinks nobody's there. But God says, I will be a ring of fire. And I will be the glory in her midst, and the power of my presence will bring her to her knees, and I will lift her up again, for I'm the God who sees. I'm the God who sees. He speaks in gentle whispers, and he softly calls her name. She feels his arms enfold her as he holds her, and she'll never be the same. 'Cause I'm the God who never changes, and my promises are true. And when this world deserts you, this is what I'll do. And then there was another woman named Ruth. She was from the land of Moab. And she was met with grief and heartache. She was a widow, and she lived with her mother-in-law, who was also a widow. And now it was time to move on. But Ruth had never been to Bethlehem. She had never tasted of the house of bread. But now she had heard an inner invitation to come and taste and see. And so she vowed herself to her mother-in-law and said, where you go, I will go. Where you lie, I will lie. Where you die, I will die. And she begins a journey to the promised land. She's traveling through the desert. And she's leaving her despair. the Savior will be born through you to free the world from sin. And he'll make all things new for you and love you back to life again, again. And then from Ruth, who gave birth to a son, Obed, who gave birth to a son, Jesse, who gave birth to a son named David. Now this same once shepherd boy, mighty warrior, anointed king, is alone, terrified, in the darkness. He's hiding in the desert. He's battling despair. David thinks his life is over, it's over, and God, he doesn't care. But God says, I will be the rock of your salvation. The power of my spirit will free you from all fear. In the hour of your deepest need, you'll find that I am near. I am here. And I will be a ring of fire around you. And I will be the
That's a good song. That's a good film too. I mean, I think he did that good. All right. Hi, y'all. So, all right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? And like to pray about it. Anything like a testimony? How about a praise report? How about a song? Boy, there's a world of action going on now. Praise God. All right. Anybody got anything on their mind they'd like to explanation or talk about? Pat's not here tonight. He ain't gonna be here. Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I do have a praise report. I was out today taking a walk in the woods with my dog, and just the sun was shining through the trees, and I was just praising the Lord and was trying to do all these little exercises, squats and stretches and everything, and I was doing really well, and I was like feeling good and everything, and then I got up after my last squat and I'm walking, and all of a sudden I had a sharp pain in my like in my leg down underneath my knee, and I was just like I could barely walk. It was so awful. It was really painful, and I was just like, "What? This isn't okay. This is not." And I just learned from you guys how to rebuke that, and I just said, "This is not my body. This is the body of Christ, and this is not allowed in this body." You guys have taught me how to pray like this, so praise the Lord for that. And I took offense, just didn't accept it, and I just walked like Michael, you always say, just walk like it's not there. And I did, and it was gone, just completely
Amen.
gone. And I could
Thank you,
my
Jesus.
walk and enjoy the day. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for your faith. Glory be to God. That's awesome. Yeah, Ben. What were you winding up there?
I got a prayer request. My boss's kids are going out for Halloween, and I mostly want the prayer for his kids that none of the candy's gonna be, preyed on or witchcraft on them for any of those kids, to be honest.
Okay.
So I'll
You go ahead
start.
and pray and we'll believe with you.
Okay. Father God, I ask that any sort of witchcraft or any sort of curses or any sort of deception or lying that goes to these children that are just trying to get some candy, I pray that none of that, none, no curse falls upon them. And I pray that they stay healthy and they don't eat too much candy. And thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for your angels going with them and protect them as they go out, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That's everything that they get is going to be good to you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Andrew.
Well, I've got a praise report that God looks after you. Went to the grocery store. This is the second time I think I did this. And I went there and I took, pulled out my wallet, pulled out my money, gave her the money, put my wallet down on the counter, put my stuff in the basket, rolled out, left my wallet there, pulled out my bag. Was already walking through the parking lot. She came running out. Hey, mister, you forgot your wallet. And I went, well, thank you so much for bringing that to me. Because, you put it back in your pocket and you go, man, I would have had to cancel all these cards and everything. So the Lord was looking after me there. Sometimes you have those moments. I hope I don't get too many of them. I need the Lord to help me when they happen. So,
Amen.
Praise God that I got my wallet back anyway.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you what I've done, Andrew. I've gone there. I've gone to grocery store. It's happened to me two or three times. And I'll sack something and leave it down on the deal and already have something in the cart. You ever done that? Go ahead and pay and just walk out and leave your sack there. I've done that number of times. I said, I don't know why I bought that stuff. Where'd it go? And oh my goodness, I left it on the counter. You go back and they say, don't know nothing about it. No, it's too far to go back down there and get it. But I've done that a couple of times and I've asked the Lord to help me to remember to pick that stuff up and throw it in the cart. I got three sacks. You want to hear me gripe, murmur, and all that kind of murmur and all that kind of stuff about, okay, I won't. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for all these great, wonderful, cheap grocery stores we go to. Economical, let me put it that way. Because I know they're coming someday. Amen. But I'm so glad I don't live in California where you have to float alone to go get your groceries. Praise God. Well, I noticed that gas here is now $2.95, $3.99, something like that. What is it out yonder, Julie? Is it under $5 yet?
I haven't looked, but last time I looked, it was about $4. No, it was over $5. It was over $5 a gallon.
Okay. What's it up there in Pennsylvania, Missy?
I think I paid when I topped off my tank before I came home the other day from my mom and dad, from Kurt Brooks, actually. I think it was like $3.79, but I think like where I usually get gas is at Sam's. I think it's like $3.40 something.
It's how much?
$3.40 something at Sam's. It's about the cheapest
place. Two? You say two?
Three.
Oh, $3.40 something. Okay. All right. Yeah, it went under $3 the other day here. I think it's $2.99 or $2.95, something like that.
Pennsylvania has one of the highest gas taxes.
Yeah. It was about a dozen states I noticed in the news this morning. It was about a dozen states that had passed a law that they couldn't demand that you take the COVID vax in the schools anymore. And they were all Republican-run states. Arkansas was one of them. Oh, Sarah Huckabee, she's doing a good job there. All right, anybody else? Well, let's see where we are in Romans. We're in Romans 6 and 8, I think. Okay. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. Okay. What does that mean? But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no more has dominion over him. Reckon I ought to go another round here. Maybe I ought to take in one more. For the death that he died unto sin once, but the life that he lives unto God. What's he talking about here? Y'all know what he's talking about here. He said it in verse 6 also, I think. Yeah. I'll just start in 5 and go through it again. How's that? For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. Now, does that make it a little clearer? Go ahead, Ben.
Well, our life before, our sin nature is dead. The life we lived before lived for sin, even though we didn't even know it. It was for sin, and it was for our flesh, it was for ourselves. And then Christ, Jesus, died on the cross so that our flesh and our sin died when he died at the cross. And just as when he rose, we rose to live a life to God.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Okay. Anybody else want to elaborate on that? Yeah, Missy.
Well, what comes to my mind is, the verse we all know, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So it's we don't we don't just die with him, we were raised with him too.
Yep.
And he took our sin and gave us his life, and now it's him that lives in us. Praise you, Jesus. We're
Amen.
all dead. Dead unto sin and alive unto God. Praise you, Jesus.
Well, how do we know that?
Because God's word says it and we believe it.
Okay. What's that called? That's a five-letter word.
Faith.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's right. Glory to God. So we walk by faith that this old man's died, Jesus living in us. We look in that mirror and we don't see nothing but Jesus doing.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's an awesome way to walk. Because you walk in no fear. You walk in complete confidence that God is going to do what he said he's going to do when you need it done. And we praise you, Lord, for doing that in each and every one of us. Glory to God. And death has no more dominion over us either, does he? We don't die. We just go from this life to that life, and it's awesome. Glory to God. Okay, anybody else? Before I go on here. You got anything to add, Andrew?
I'll just say we step into our resurrected life here. We do Ephesians 2:6. You know, like we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we have to live our resurrected life in Christ Jesus. And that's, see, but if, I circled if because you know what if stands for, eh? In faith. And that's verse 8.
Amen.
That's the big if, you know, like some people think it's an iffy thing, you know, do we really have it? No, that's in faith. That's what that if means, you know. We're partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, firm unto the end. So that's a good companion verse for that one.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And then it goes on in, where did I leave off? 10 or 11? 11, wasn't it? 10. For the death that he died unto sin once. But the life that he lives unto God. That's right. Glory to God. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. So let not sin, this is something we got to do here. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey the lust thereof. That's something we have to do physically, right? God has said. Huh? Yeah. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death no more hath dominion over him. That's true. For the death that he died unto sin once. But the life that he lives unto God. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body that you should obey the lust thereof. He's telling us, don't sin no more. That's something we have to do. We have to shun sin. Yeah, Ben. Or Andrew. I think Andrew had his hand up first.
I'm going to start calling you David.
I'm sorry, Andrew. Gosh.
Anyways.
David's no kin to me at all. I want to have you. He's my brother, that's all.
Yeah, I was just going to bring up that obey word in, I think it's right there in verse 12 that you read. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lusts thereof. You see, that's an obey, an obedience in reverse. That's an agape love in reverse if you're going to obey sin. So we don't do that because he just told you in the verse before it, to reckon yourself dead to sin, indeed. Yep. So you have a new mortality here. You go, and you know, there's that certain verse that says, when you go from mortal to immortal, and those who are corrupt to incorruption. So that's the mortality he's talking about. Praise and glory to God for this.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Benjamin.
I was reading these verses last night, and as I was reading this section, these are some of the, I would say, probably the most important verses that we were probably going to read in this whole chapter. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, neither present your members to sin. It's sort of leading on to our authority that we have in Christ. It's sort of just like giving a little prequel to what we can do. It's don't let sin reign in your body. Don't let your members, present your members to sin. A lot of people read these verses and will be like, well, how do I do that? What can I do? But it's the authority that Christ gave to you that you can do these things, that you can deny these temptations, and you can tell these spirits and these demons, you know, get out of here, you know? Anyways, that's just what I noticed last night.
Okay, go ahead, Andrew. So I got it right to you. You may begin, Ben.
Now, there's also 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty before God, casting down reasoning. That's a good collating verse with the one that to present. Neither be presenting your members to sin. You know, you detect when this reasoning or this imagination comes upon you. So you cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against them, the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ, which is sometimes, I know, for people who still have to go to work and stuff, they got to do that an awful lot. You know, well, they got to do that quite often. It's a good thing to do, to practice, to go on your journey. You know, it brings to remembrance the Pilgrim's Progress, and you have to be on this journey, on a constant journey. The Lord gets you better and better at this as you progress in Him. Sometimes people might think He's very distant, but He's closer to you than a brother. So even though we got all these nice little rectangles here, we're supposed to be fitly framed together. So one body here, and it's got all the different colors all over, at least with everyone's clothing and background. Good rainbow effect in this light on the screen here. Praise God.
Amen. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. I'm going to keep going here just a little bit. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? How would you say that? Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, again, like I mentioned before, in verse 12, it says obey, and here they have obediences. And you don't want to be loving, obeying the wrong way. This obedience has a thought of having agape. You know, when it mentions in Colossians philosophy, in Colossians chapter 2, philosophy, that's the study of the love of knowledge and wisdom. But that philosophy is man's knowledge and wisdom. So then again, you know, you have to an unregenerated man will give you philosophy and all this other stuff, and it doesn't compare to God's obedience, God's word, which is first and foremost with us, because philosophy, the verse goes something like philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men and the elements of the earth. So you don't want to have yourself obedient to that. You want to have yourself obedient to the Lord, because there's the two different obediences here. So I'm just stressing that you should not have your love tricked. You shouldn't be tricked, but you know that the trickster is always out there too. He beguiles, he tricks you, and he lies to you, and you can't be always going in a circle. I know sometimes we have a problem with something, but you can't keep going in a circle with something. And you have to ask God to be on your, you want to be on God's side with your needs and your provisions. And you always want to be on God's side, waiting and resting in Him to be patient, to fulfill in you what's supposed to be fulfilled. Anyways, that's I guess the safest way to say it. But He's giving you the both extremes here on the obedience here. So we want to obey God. It's kind of like a picture of a father-son or a parent-child relationship as a parable or an allegory here. So it shows forth that we really want to do the 1 John 3:2, where we manifest what we're supposed to. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Anybody else? All right. 15. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. That's some encouraging words. Thank you, Lord. Anybody want to tackle that? Proof self-explanatory. It is when you got popcorn in your mouth. All right. Anybody want to comment on this? Let me ask you this. What gets you free from sin? Yeah, Barbara.
Grace.
Huh?
I say grace.
Grace?
He has to give us the grace to be free from sin.
Yeah. Thank you. Go ahead, Missy.
Faith and confession of the word.
That's it. all of that together.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The word is what keeps us from sinning, right? Go ahead, Andrew.
I'd just like to say this before anyone who might be listening to this about the free from sin. You know, they're always trying to convince us sometimes that we're not free from sin, and this can really mess up a new Christian. Because they say things like, the only thing you can ever hope to be is a sinner and just be happy you're saved and get on with your life. Or there's another one that was out there, I seem to remember these. It's not fun to go through something because of what some other people might say. God doesn't see your sin. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. And that there's lies in that statement, and unconditional, eternal security. Well, it's conditional upon faith, because we are partakers of Christ. If, which is a conditional word, and that's Hebrews 3:14, and also I believe one of the most quoted verses for righteousness, for he hath been made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous. So you see, there's a condition of faith that's for both of those, and faith that, as it says in the previous chapter of Romans, about we have access unto his grace by faith. So that's why he always tells us to ask and seek and to knock. And we pray about these things even before we study the Bible. So praise and glory to God. I just wanted to mention that because some of us may have had a bad run-in with people who say you're a sinner, and you might hop from one church to another. You don't have to convince someone they're a sinner. Usually Jesus and the Holy Spirit takes care of that. As it says in the book of John, that the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And if you tell them they're a sinner after they're saved, that's not a really good thing to do, because they've already went through the baptismal waters. And if you do that to a baby Christian, you better hope God has a lot of grace for you anyway. So I'm just going to put it that way. Praise and glory to God. And if it has happened to you and God has returned you, then it's always good to be very forgiving to these people. And praise God. So free from sin, free from sin. In many places it's free from sin here. The 11th verse, you're supposed to even reckon yourself dead to sin indeed. So that's I just wanted to bring that up.
Praise Amen. God. So how would you talk to someone that says, bless God, I'm saved. I'm once saved, always saved. That's what that's what I know. I don't care what you say, I'm saved. And they're sitting on a pew, not reading their word, and listening to the preacher every week give a little moral story.
Well, if they're sitting on a pew, then they don't smell very well. Anyways.
Okay. Did y'all hear what he said? You didn't hear what he said? He said, if you're sitting on a pew, you're not smelling very bad.
Anyway, the obedience of the four different lands of the parable of the sower, the first guy lost his. The second, people know of their salvation, but they're not bearing fruit. The third land people are not bearing fruit either, but they know their salvation. And the fourth land people are have their salvation intact, and they're bearing fruit in Christ. So they're going on, and they're bearing more fruit. And fruit is in the word of God. That's the crown you have. See that no one takes your crown. So what happens in a church if they bring in a doctrine that they didn't have in your grandpa's day, and now they have it suddenly. And so you see, if you're going to look at that Second Thessalonians chapter 2, when God sends a working of error, he does it, you know, and that's very sad. Like, it's progressively worse as you go down those Second Thessalonians chapter 2 to that verse. And it's almost like, well, you guys wanted this, so I'm going to send it for you now. And you want to have a really high respect for your Father in heaven. To be blessed by him is a wonderful thing to have, you know. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So the guy on his pew there has to realize that he's got to have a lot more than just what he has. So when something smells funny, you know, it's not the savor of God, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's a savor. It's a flavor. Oh, taste and see. And it's a savor. You never smell that nice fresh bread from the bakery. That's a savor too, you know. Something doesn't smell funny there. Something smells really good. But it's not the kitchen bread we want. We want the word of God, the bread of God, which came down from heaven. And that's got a really nice savor to it too. And it can be detected by us, because you've ran into it several times. I know you've been out there in the public and something smells funny. Anyway, it smells a lot funny at work too. So there's a savor to God's bread. Yeah. And it, anyway, that's what I believe. There's a savor and a taste to God's word, and you can see with it and you can hear with it. And you get a nice heart for it, a heart that loves, a soul that loves, a strength that's going to make your hands with the mark of God. And it's going to make your walk straight and narrow. So you're going to have all this feeling to you that feels really good. Anyway, you know how excited you get when you see an answer to prayer or something happening? That's a real good feeling. And that's the kind of feeling the Lord wants to give you all the time. And of course, we also have to be patient and wait for what the Lord is doing with us, because he knows what to do. And as you know, we have a book called Sovereign God, and he does it all anyway. And you can get a little shaky when you think about how sovereign he is, because he is sovereign over all things. Everything, tree doesn't fall in the forest without him knowing it. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. We're not leave out. 21. What fruit then had ye at that time and thing in the things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what's he saying here? What fruit then had ye at that time in the things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Anybody want to comment on those? But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, how are we servants to God? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Well,
sorry to call you Ben.
Jesus would call his disciples, and he said, "Follow me." So that's how we become servants of God. It's a very powerful word. This servant, enslaved, because often the apostles are referred to as bondmen.
Yep.
This is a wonderful enslavement to God. If you're going to be free from sin, even as it says up there in 18, free from sin, then be free from sin and enslaved to God. God will do this by sending a Holy Spirit reminder to you. He'll do a 14:26 on you from John. He'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name, who teaches you all things and reminds you. And of course, there's a bit of a discipleship in there. At the end of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that he established you in every good word and work, or work and word. I'm sure that's a discipleship also. And we know it as a learner and a follower. So the word you get is the teaching, and the work you do is with your hands. And the word goes into your mind and heart and makes its way to your soul, and it gets out there in your strength so you can do it with your hands. Just like a Tabitha in the Tabitha hands do things, you know, for other people, and you can get raised from the dead for doing it. So anyways, that's what Tabitha did. And you get the works out of your hands, and all you can have one of those gatherings at the beginning of every month there. And people bring stuff in, you know, and they feed each other and with kitchen food. And of course, to share one's mind with someone is a very good work for someone who studies the word and comes and writes books for people. And he's also being a Tabitha too, who does these things. And we have these wonderful books from the Lord, Sovereign God, Hidden Manna, and all the other books. So we just listened to a lovely lady sing some historical things, and that's a lovely work too. And you can even watch God's Not Dead, like I did yesterday. God's Not Dead too, and that's a lot of people getting together trying to keep a person in line and find things to do that is far better than what are worldly things, even though you can see the two different sides there in some of these Christian movies. I'm sure everyone can see them with the Pilgrim's Progress. And The Witch, the Lion, and the Wardrobe, which is kind of a spiritual land that these little children were in that story of the Witch, the Lion, and the Wardrobe. But it's something that they're actually living in the spirit as they walk through their lives. So there's two different ways of looking at it. One had a dream, other one made a story. Well, and they're good readings and even good movies now for people to watch, The Pilgrim's Progress. So these are good items and to meditate and to pray. As parents, we're supposed to pray with your children and praise God with the children. You know, it's lovely family when you can also play instruments together and worship God together and get those little kiddie Bibles for as soon as they read, you know, even if there's not a lot of word in them. But, you know, they're 4 years old, so they need the picture Bible too. So, and you know, sometimes they might even turn to that one when they're much older. I still have some of the little kiddie Christian books from my kids' time. And you want to make sure there's a Bible in the house and you study together with them as soon as they can talk. And even before that, you know, they need example from even grandma and grandpa. You know, one thing, if you have a grandma and a grandpa, they're praising God, you know, they're going to see a seriousness to it. See grandpa or grandma in the bedroom praying in tongues to God, then the teenager walks in and ooh, I better not interrupt her. But she says, no, come on in here. I want to talk to you about stuff too. But you know, whatever it is, we love on our loved ones and we try to be as good as possible with the Lord. Then. Anyways, I even forgot what the question was. So I'm sorry that I rambled on too much. But
no, that's okay, Andrew.
Glory and praise to God.
Amen. Do you have something, Ben?
Well, it just, I think we were kind of talking about, because I've sort of kind of forgot the question as well, but talking about obeying and talking about serving, and it reminded me of one of the teachings. I think it was on the 25th, and I think it's actually you that said, a son has to be a servant, but a servant doesn't have to be a son. Now, what does that mean? I'm reminded of when Jesus said, I only do the will of my Father. Now, he didn't do it out of obligation, but he did it out of love. And so, being freed from sin and enslaved to God, that sounds like, oh, God's enslaving us to do his will. But no, he has baptized us into a spirit of adoption, into the spirit of his son, to love others and to love his commandments. And when we love his commandments and we love God, then we're going to spread that love to other people. Now, we can't live that life when we're under flesh and sin. And so that leads to death, because that's not going to live eternally. But the eternal life in Christ Jesus, living that life is in love. Anyways, I didn't really know where I was going with it. That's kind of why I put my hand back
down. Yeah, the question was, what do you say to someone that has that once saved, always saved mentality? And that's a good answer. Those are good answers. One thing that I heard a guy say one time. He said, you know, if you go ahead and do the things that the Bible says to do, you won't have time to do the don'ts. And that made sense to me. And he said this also. He said, think of sin as a landmine. Then if you sin, you step on that landmine, you're gone. You know, it's going to blow up. And that's just to make us aware that we're to walk like Christ. And to look at Christ, we don't look at sin, we look at Christ. We look at the faith that he's given us to walk like him and to talk like him and to act like him. And I believe that that message of if you do the do's, you don't going to have time to do the don'ts of the Bible. Because there's a lot of do's to do. Isn't it? What is a disciple? Andrew said a while ago. It's a learner and a follower of Jesus. That's what a disciple is. Boy, can you imagine where we'd be if they had done that all the way up? If they had disciples, had begat disciples, had begat disciples all the way up to our time? Wouldn't be in this mess, would we? But somewhere along the way, early on, people started taking over rather than allowing the Lord to take over. And then became a religion rather than freedom in Christ. And it is freedom in Christ. And that's why in the days ahead, he's going to shake those churches that have these stupid doctrines that just come on in and pay the preacher and everything's going to be fine kind of doctrine. Listen to my little old moral message every Sunday and everything's going to be lovely. But when he starts shaking the ground they walk on and they see the true Christians out there helping folks or whatever it is, you know, that's what it's going to be. That's where they're going to come into the truth then. We make disciples and you do that with the word of God. Teaching them how to be learners and followers of the word. Doing the word. Okay. Anybody else? You know, it's becoming more evident to me. Oh, I do want to make this announcement that the Lord told David today. The Lord's getting serious. He's getting down to earth now. He's getting it down to a language where we can understand it. Anyone, this is the Lord told David, he said, anyone that promotes faction, the Lord has decreed this judgment upon them, that those who promote faction through voodoo, witchcraft, curses, etc., will go through a living hell in this life. And if there is no repentance, we'll go to hell after this life. Sound like God's getting serious about faction. He don't want faction in his body. I hope I was supposed to do this. I felt like I would. Anyone that promotes faction, the Lord has decreed this judgment upon him. Those who promote faction through voodoo, witchcraft, curses, etc., will go through a living hell in this life. And if there is no repentance, we'll go to hell after this life. How many of you know that's not good? That's not a good thing. Well, Lord, we just thank you for keeping us all. Yeah, Missy. All in the word. Well, we don't have to worry about faction. Does anybody know what faction is? faction is causing division by talking about somebody behind their back. Yeah, Missy.
Didn't he say that that was a worldwide thing for Christians?
What?
Didn't he say that was a worldwide thing for Christians, for the body of Christ?
Well, I'm sure it is, yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that. I thought that's what he had said.
Yeah.
That it's not just the outreach and not just the local body, mm-hmm. not just UBS.
The Lord doesn't have any favorites, you know, up in faith. Any questions on that decree that the Lord gave out today? And it's not to put you in fear. That's not what it's for. It's to put the people in faction in fear. That's what it's for. Amen. I know that's right. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I know you people read the New Testament quite a bit. I think it's only Philemon that doesn't talk about any division or faction. And the rest of them will always give you alternatives. The Second Thessalonians, how it progressively leads to a point where they don't love the truth, and God sends a working of error. So, Ephesians also has it that there's one body, the seven ones at 4 and 4 onward. And Galatians, there's the word anathema in the first chapter. And of course, that's a cursed person. And of course, in Romans chapter, you can't get by chapter 1 in Romans when there's division. He's talking to people in the church, by the way, on a lot of these items. You know, he's not talking about worldly people. He's talking in the four gospels to a lot of religious people, Jesus himself, and there is a division there with the ones who are divided. And of course, Corinthians also mentions the four divisions that the apostle and his friends went to go and fix in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And, you know, you're reminded of all the different denominations that are out there, that there really isn't no such thing as a denomination. And what is it that you shall know them by their fruit?
Yeah.
By their love, too, because we're commanded to imitate God the Father as beloved children and walk in love. So if you're asking for love, he's going to have to give you faith, and he's going to have to give you truth. And he's going to have to give you everything with your neighbor, because love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So you're going to have truth in that. And truth is a wonderful thing to have too. But I think when a person loves truth and wants truth and asks God for truth, he's going to have to give him love. And a person who sees love as a powerful item that never fails, then he's going to need truth too, and he's going to need to know what doesn't fail from God. So there could be things that yet God has to cleanse us from. So he's a merciful God, so he's doing this with these people when he's warning them all through this testing. So he's going to still continue with us the same way he would have with the Corinthians, the Galatians, mm-hmm. and he's going to give us warning and his love. There's a lot of people out there who don't want the love of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You know, not everyone wants the love from God. I don't know why. You know, like, you have to be careful with the 17 one there, but you don't judge. And because he didn't come to judge the world, but to save. And we're not accusers, but at the same time, we have to know what wisdom is, which is good judgment. We need to be saved and depend on God's wisdom to come inside of us. It's a light that comes inside of us, and it's a word that comes inside of us. It's the bread of God that came down from heaven, which is the word of God also, but it's Jesus himself in us. And he's got a light and a bread he gives to us in our souls. And it goes from the spirit man, that the life-giving spirit into your soul. So there's a doorway there for him to get into your soul and bring this fruit in. That's the way I picture it anyway. To have the bread and the light. The light comes, of course, as your candlestick and the bread. And it almost makes me want to go back to Hebrews and review everything that was in that first temple and see what it means for us today. Praise God.
Amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, when you're walking in Christ, you got him. You stay with him, and you'll see life eternal. All right, let's go to chapter 7, released from the law. Praise God. Or, are ye ignorant, brethren? For I speak to men who know the law. He's talking to who? Talking to people who knows the law. That the law hath dominion over man for so long time as he liveth. For the woman that hath a husband is bound by law to the husband while he lives, but if the husband die, she's discharged from the law of the husband. So then, if while the husband lives, she be joined to another man, so shall she be called an adulteress. But if the husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be joined to another man. All right, what's he talking about here? It's not what you think, is it? Who wants to venture off into this? I'll read it again, slowly. Or are ye ignorant, brethren? For I speak to men who know the law, that the law hath dominion over man for so long time as he lives. For the woman that hath a husband is bound by law to the husband while he lives. But if the husband dies, she is discharged from the law of the husband. So then, if while the husband lives, she be joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if the husband dies, she's free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be joined to another man. I'll get it out here directly. All right. All right, who wants to talk about this? Missy, you go right ahead, girl.
For the woman that hath a husband, which is her old man, is bound by law to the husband the old man while he lives. But if the husband dies, if the old man dies, her old man, she is discharged from the law of the husband. Discharged from the law of having to obey that husband because he's dead.
Amen.
So it's kind of almost, in a sense, a repeat of chapter 6, in a sense, in some ways, a little bit. It's saying it a little different about being made from sin, because you're made free from sin because the old man's dead, right? It's the old man that sins. This is what I see. That's all I'll say. Well, let somebody else go.
Okay. All right, let's see if anybody else got something.
Well, I would like Missy to say all that again. Could you repeat all that again, Missy? Thanks for clapping your hands, Julie.
Oh, you got to make her repeat what she said. That'd be good. Now, let's see if you can do that, Missy.
Yeah. Can I say this? Yeah. Catch it on the recording. Because I don't know if I can regurgitate it.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
I'll try. For the woman that hath a husband, which is her old man, is bound by law to the husband while he lives, bound by law to submit to him. But if the husband
Hold on. For the woman that hath a husband is bound by law to the husband while he liveth. But if the husband die,
right.
How does the husband die?
We've been crucified with Christ.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
But if the husband die, if the old man dies, she is discharged from the law of the husband. She doesn't have to submit
to the old man.
To the husband. You're the servant of whom you obey, you know, it's the old man. And it's pretty cool how, you know, how you can see from chapter 6 and this chapter, and he's kind of repeating it in a little bit different way, you know. Anyway.
Okay, then keep going.
Do I have to? So then if while the husband...
Well, there's a question that's coming up, I'm sure.
So then if while the husband lives, in other words, the old man still lives, she is joined to another man. Okay? We can't be joined to Christ, who is another man, unless the old man dies first, because we've been crucified with him and raised with him. She shall be called an adulteress. You can't have two husbands. You can't serve two masters. Ooh. Either you'll love the one and you'll hate the other. Praise you, Lord. Because this wasn't anything that I, you know, was planning on saying. He's just bringing this to me. But if the husband die, which is the old man, because he's been crucified with Christ, she is free from the law. Amen. Free from the law, which brings about sin, the knowledge of sin. Because we're free from the law, which makes us sinners, you know, really. You're made free from sin, like it says in chapter 6. So that she is no adulteress, though she be joined to another. Be joined to Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I have to say that chapter 6 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Because it really set me free, gave me a greater understanding. And actually, 6, 7, and 8. Those are three of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. So praise the Lord.
Amen. It'll set you free, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
It will. All right. Anybody else got any questions for Missy on this one? Everybody understand what she's saying? I know she wasn't teaching. She was just telling you what she knows.
Hey, man, I understand it. Thank you for sharing that, Missy.
Okay. All right. Yeah, thank you, Missy. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got any answers? Yeah, Missy. You can't have a question for your own deal here. Come on now.
I don't have a question. I just have a statement to make. This is applied. You can apply this spiritually and physically. It's true either way. But the most important one we know is spiritually, what it means spiritually.
Well, we're going to keep with what the six is bringing over into seven, and that's a sin nature. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, it says somewhere in the gospel that they used to cut off the hands there, you know, and pluck out the eyes there. So you're plucking out the old man's eye. You're getting the new guy's eye in there, and you cut off his hand, you know, for those sinners. You know, he's cutting off his old man's hand and putting on his new man's hand. So I can't remember exactly where it says that in the Gospels. They used to do some really weird stuff in the Dark Ages when people stole things. Because they didn't really understand the spirit of the word in these verses. They would actually take a thief and cut his hand off. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, you know, and they would, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, you know. If you walk in the wrong place, you know, we cut your feet, you're going to be stubby there. No arms, no feet, no legs, and, no eyes too. So, what's next, you know? Gonna have to take those ears so they can't hear either. No, so what you're trying to cut off here is the dark side, and the iniquity side, the agreement with idols side anyway. So praise God. I never saw that one. So thanks, Missy. That was interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? All right. 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also were made dead to the law through the body of Christ, that ye should be joined to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bring forth fruit unto God. Anybody want to comment on that one? I'll read it again. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also were made dead to the law through the body of Christ. You were made dead to the law through the body of Christ, that ye should be joined to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bring forth fruit unto God. Okay. Some of you men, raise your hand. Yeah, Joe.
I want to add a little bit to the previous was talking about this. I was looking at it this way: as you were, in your old life, you were married to the law, and that's only rules and regulations. There's no love in it, and the end of it's also dead because you're serving a weird master. You want to serve because you love, so that's why you have to die to, you have to get rid of your old husband. That's the law. You have to marry to someone you can love and serve because you want to serve, and that leads only to eternal life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's good. I read every bit of that, Joe. Lord of God. Amen. That's pretty neat. All right. Anybody else on that particular verse that I just read? Kind of more or less what Missy was saying, wasn't it? You also were made dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you should be joined to another, even to him who was raised from the dead. Who was raised from the dead. That we might bring forth fruit unto God. That's what God's looking for in it. The fruit of Jesus. Jesus. All right, 7:5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were through the law, wrought in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Woo-hoo. That's not good. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were through the law, wrought in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But, here we go. Now we have been discharged from the law, having died to that wherein we were held, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Praise be to the God. All right, anybody want to comment on that? Anybody want to tell us what he's talking about? Well, verse 6 there kind of tells us what he's doing. But now we have been discharged from the law, having died to that wherein we were held. What were we held to? The flesh? So that we serve in newness of the Spirit. Praise God, we're in the Spirit now, and not in the oldness of the letter. We don't walk by our senses anymore. We walk by our Spirit, don't we? We don't walk. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
It's like that verse up in 6 and chapter 6, or 6 and 4. That you walk in newness of life. So it shows forth the, your baptism. You know, a lot of people revert to chapter 6 for their baptism when they got water baptized. And, this newness of spirit is also to walk in that newness of life, because, that newness of life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we have, faith in that, and we have assured expectation in that from hope. So it's something we should expect, and it's something that we grow into. We bear the fruit, and from the word, and we do the work. We don't do the work; he does it through us by faith and grace. Sometimes you speak too quickly, and you have to realize that it's all by grace, by God's grace. And that's why we have access unto his grace through the faith also. So I just saw that there. I went, hey, to be in this newness of the spirit, and there's the to walk in newness of life. There's two newnesses here. And that's the new man. So, and there's a similar verse to this in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6, where it talks about the letter and the spirit over there. This is one of those letter spirit verses. There's also a similar verse in Romans 2:29. The circumcision of the heart and not of the flesh. So we have a circumcised heart through the word being written upon our hearts by the Spirit of God. And we're a letter known and read of all men, because we're supposed to be known and read of all men. This is why we read the word, and we don't have an empty letter. We have something written upon our letter, because the letter there is your soul, your heart. And it's written there and by God for his great love for us, because we love because he first loved us. If any loved me, he would keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him, both of them, Father and Son. That's, they carry you, you don't carry them. Okay. And that's the way it's done. You see, we trust in the Lord for this. That's why we follow. We follow because you stay behind the big guy. And he's very big and strong, and we follow him, and he leads us and guides us. And we need to love him always. And the good thing is he also reminds us too, through the newness of spirit, when the things are written there, because you're an open letter when you get saved, and God adds to your heart the word, and it bears fruit, makes your crown shine brighter and brighter to live the proper life, to bear that fruit, to not be left orphan, you know, he will not leave you orphan. He comes to save. He comes to secure you and establish you in your heart, in your mind, also with the four loves. Because if you don't have those four loves in heart, soul, strength, and mind, you're not going to have it for your neighbor, and you're not going to have it for your enemy either. Because that's why it's the first commandment. The second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the self is a play on words there, because the self that you're loving there is the new man, because you're not the old man anymore. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Anyone else? Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Howbeit I had not known sin except through the law. For I had not known coveting except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, finding occasion, wrought in me through the commandment all manner of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Now, what is he talking about? What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Howbeit I have not known sin except through the law, for I have not known coveting except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, finding occasion, wrought in me through the commandment all manner of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Somebody help me out here. Is he saying that the law showed him that sin, what sin was? Is that what he's saying? Okay. Explain it. Oh my. Go ahead, Andrew.
I sort of want to give other people a chance, but you know, Jesus said in there's a verse about redemption. You know, it says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So the law is a curse because it's the letter.
Yeah.
But Jesus came also to fulfill the law and the prophets.
Yes.
So he said that back on the Sermon on the Mount, I think, back in Matthew. So if he's going to fulfill the law, let's say we'll take a law, thou shalt not kill. Okay. It has to be fulfilled in us according to a word, because we just can't go around killing people. So the fulfillment of this law is the faith and grace. The grace is, pretty much covers a lot, you know, when he gives you the grace to put that word in your heart so that you don't do these things against that which is holy, because the law is still holy, but we kind of arrive at that holiness through a new life, not the law, the fulfillment of the law. And there's lots of fulfillment in the law when you have love. Agape style, obedience. But you know, over there in 1 John 5:3, it says, for this is the love of God that you keep our commandments. So the love of God is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's no law in there. As a matter of fact, there's 9 fruits, and then the 10th thing he says, against such there is no law. So we walk in the Spirit, we walk in this wonderful, powerful word. You know, when you get a word from God, for instance, we'll take creation versus evolution. You will have an evangelist for evolution that will switch the whole world. And I don't want to mention any names on who that might be. But anyway, We have an understanding that even any person knows what it says about creation, but the power has to be added to that work. The power has to be added so you don't kill anybody. The power of love, the power of God's Holy Spirit, the power of God's word, and to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So there's power in the blood of the Lamb, but the new life you have to not do those things that are unseemly, to have Acts 1:8, Revelation 12:11, and Luke 1:37. There's power in the word, power in the Holy Spirit, and power in the blood. So actually 12:11 also shows you the power in the word there. And so you don't come against this power, because it says in a certain place, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power. so you don't come against your father's power. Because if you do, I guess it would be an opposing power and an opposing love, which would be the first fruit of the flesh, a fornication, to say God's word has no meaning. And God's word has meaning, and the first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is love, which is obedience, agape style. So there is two different powers here. And we a lot of people talk about choice, but people who aren't regenerated in Titus 3, created in Christ, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, into the likeness of, which we just read in Romans chapter 6, or born again in John chapter 3, they are not called, so they don't have that power by the fulfillment of the law, by the grace and by Christ in them, because they haven't been called. And you can't judge such people. And people who falter in these items can bring those items in into a congregation of people, and everybody thinks it's okay. It's something Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, that in the last days mockers will come after their mockery, walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his presence? For all things remain the same from the time the fathers fell asleep. So not only do they have something that I understand as a timing thing wrong, but they have something really, they willfully forget something, because it says that later on. And well, creation is mentioned there. And yeah, there's power with creation. Because God's continuing a new creation with us ever since the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's making us his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works. And good is, there's only one that's good, you know, and he shares that goodness with us through his Holy Spirit, through the knowledge light, through the wisdom light, through all seven lights in your temple. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Well, it says in Galatians 5 and 14, as Andrew mentioned a while ago, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what the law is. It's no longer the old law, that one word, L-O-V-E, as Andrew was talking about, is the word that keeps you from doing all of that. Go ahead, Barry.
Go ahead, Bob.
It's Mrs. Barry.
Mrs. Barry, go ahead.
it's just a companion verse I was thinking about for the last part of verse 8 there. It says, for without the law, sin was dead. And I was looking at 1 Corinthians 15 and 56, and it says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The you know, the point being that the strength of sin is the law. But then I like the next verse, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because none of us could ever keep the law. That's all.
Yeah, even the Jews couldn't keep it forever, how many years that was. they were constantly having barbecues because of it, sacrificing them cows and bulls and things. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just want to say something about some Christians that are new. Sometimes they make an emphasis about the law. They say, well, you got to keep the law. But it's because that's what they hear other people saying. It's a saying. But what they're really meaning, hopefully, is you're keeping the faith and the grace and this love because of it. Because, you know, they know themselves that they're not under the law. And then it slips out of their mouth that's against the law. You know, I'll say that the law of God, but you got to take the OAW off and put the OVE instead in there and keep the A for agape. And the W is the two are made one, thus making peace. So,
that's how I follow up.
So you still need the A for agape. And the W for the two that are made, that's making peace. So it's not a law that we want to look at, you know, but the law is holy. It's the fulfillment that Jesus came to give us. The fulfillment of the law.
Amen. That fulfillment was the spiritual aspect of the whole 10 commandments. How many of you know when you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to do things to him that the law says not to do?
Even the ceremonial laws are fulfilled differently, but you know, the laws are fulfilled differently for us too, because they're not according to law. They're according to the love of God that we have for our neighbor, because against such there is no. Actually, any one of the nine fruits of the Spirit will bounce you back up to the love. So the self-control will bring you back up to the love. You might want to stop over for faith that worketh love. So, you know, and the faith that worketh love is going to give you the last one, self-control. And the faith that worketh love is going to give you all of them. You know, you got to have some joy. You got to have some happiness in your life. But it's not the happiness of the old man, it's the happiness of the new man. You have all those blessings that God promised to you anyway in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. All those blessings that are in chapter 5 of Matthew that we've done, I think, 3 times or 4 times on this outreach in the past. And you know, I like the last blessing and Revelation 22:14, the mouse, you know, blessed they that wash their robes, that there shall be authority over the tree of life. Isn't that great? To have authority. This blessing is given to you at the Father's sovereignty, who makes it happen in you. And you may enter by the gates into the city. Now, what city is that? And you've got the keys to get in by this verse. And you know who the Word of God is? He's Jesus Christ, because he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So there's your key right there to enter by the gates into the city. Even if you got those... enter by the gates into the city, the last part of 22:14 of Revelation. And if God's giving you the blessing, then who washes your robes? And if he's telling you to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh, then what is this Jesus Christ you're putting on? I hope he's clean, because you don't want no other Jesus. You don't want to wear yesterday's Jesus. You've got a new Jesus to put on today. Yesterday's Jesus was wonderful, but you know, we got a future. You got all your clothing lined up for the next few days here. Yeah. And He puts the clothing on you. He dresses you. I know sometimes you might not, at your elderly age, forget those days when mom used to try to pull the shirt over your head and it was too big. You were a little child, and it's going on today because we don't have another shirt for Sunday morning. Until I go to the store and get a new one. So, you know, and you can picture mom go, it's got to go on. It's the only collar shirt he has, and the rest is all in the laundry. Anyway, so praise God. Glory to God.
Where did I stop?
I think you stopped at 9.
9, okay. Yeah, I was just looking at that. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to? Yeah, Joe.
I was thinking what Andrew's talking about, the abbreviation of law. I think it's law is love and works, but now in the new life, it's only love. It's no more works, it's only love.
Yeah. Thank you. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
I believe I said a little too much, maybe a couple times, and got into a little bit of teaching. But so, Father, I just ask you to help me to let my words be few and be led by your Spirit and not say too much. In Jesus'
name. Amen.
And I command this condemnation to go from me in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. You have been absolved. We love you, Missy. All right. Lord, we just thank you for another good evening. We praise you, Father, for all the good word that you've given us, that we can go over these things, because we know that, you know, a lot of times we understand everything, but the people out there don't understand. And they get to go through this with us, Lord, and we praise you for that. Thank you for it, Lord. We praise you, Father, for a good night's sleep for everybody that needs it, a good day's work for those who don't. And we praise you, Father, that you are bringing us into that L-O-V-E. Type of fulfillment of that law in Jesus' name, that we all have that love and we're going to shine like a brand new neon sign out there for the public, and we're going to help them become disciples in Jesus' name in the days ahead. And we praise you, Father, for bringing down the Judases, bringing down the faction in Jesus' name, us abroad and locally in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed. You hear?